A 2018 Gallup study showed that only 11% of C-level executives in the U.S. believe college graduates have the skills needed to thrive in their companies. While companies scramble to address the skills gap, as it's known, a growing body of educators and entrepreneurs know that we've got to start earlier if we're truly going to close that gap. Today I'm talking with Ann Jones, co-founder of District C, a nonprofit that aims to build a new kind of talent pipeline by giving K-12 students the greatest lever to long-term career success, the ability to solve complex problems on diverse teams. District C works with local businesses to give student teams real challenges they're currently facing and then empower student teams to create actionable solutions for the business. Anna's a brilliant educator, entrepreneur, and all-around change maker. On this episode, she shares the mindsets and tools behind collective problem solving and how to get started no matter where you are. And just as a quick note, Anne joined me virtually from HQ Raleigh, the co-working space where they coach student teams. So you'll hear a little ambient noise throughout the episode, but it helps to paint a picture of the authentic space students experience throughout the process. Here we go. Well, I am here with Anne Jones, co-founder of District C. Anne, thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for reaching out. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, I've been really excited about this conversation. I saw that you just took in some North Carolina bluegrasses. Are you a regular?
Man, listen, I am as much as I can be. That was an unexpected, fabulous evening. A young gal just put out an all call to bluegrass players and said, we're going to be here Wednesday night. Anybody that wants to come. So people just kept showing up. You know, there's a bass player and a fiddle player and then a mandolin player. Actually, so many people, they had to split up into two kind of jam session groups. It was amazing. totally surprised.
Oh, it sounds awesome. Okay, so I have a slew of questions for you, but maybe we can just start with just a little bit about the work that you're doing with District C and the gap that you saw that led you to this work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a statistic that sort of, I think, brings into relief this gap, and that is Gallup did a survey a few years ago, and they asked hiring managers, how many of you strongly agree that recent college graduates, and they were referring to four-year college graduates, are prepared with the competencies they need to thrive in your business? 11% strongly agreed with that statement, and
Wow. That's
pretty jarring. I mean, like, right? Like, that's 16 years of investment in time and money. And, you know, that's not where we want to be. And I think if you start digging into that and sort of saying, you know, so what's missing, right? Like, what are these competencies or mindsets or capacities that people do need to thrive in this rapidly changing workforce? And I think, you know, increasingly clear the things we're working on. That's two things. One, you're really looking for talent that can leverage the strengths of a diverse team, and two, can work with that team to solve a complex problem. And you know, those two things are shouldn't be a surprise or are related, right? Because as you start to begin to deal with complexity and increasing complexity, you quickly realize what I know myself and the expertise I bring to bear is not enough, right? Quickly, the complexity makes that situation a situation where you need diverse perspectives, backgrounds, views to really bring to bear on that particular problem. So, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise to us that, you know, you're sort of seeing those two things go hand in hand. So, yes, that's the gap that we kind of gave ourselves permission to really say, if we wanted to really coach people to get better at those two things, just really focusing on that, how would we do it? So that was where the journey for District C began.
So what did you come to when you said, how are we going to solve this problem? How would we approach it? Where did you land?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that we realized was we really needed to have a clear point of view on something a bit more specific and actionable than work in diverse teams to solve complex problems, right? Like, that's pretty abstract, good place to start. But step one was to begin to sort of unpack that and ask the question, what are the mindsets that people have who are good at that? And also, what are the tools that they use to help them do that? And so we did a ton of reading, looking at models that were working, looking at what we know from workforce, you know, literature on successful teams, all of that, which I love. and then honestly, you know, and we learned a ton, right? And sort of we sort of started to develop around these four mindsets and started to build these series of tools. But I'll tell you, we learned probably the most important stuff by trying it and doing it, which is actually one of our mindsets, right? Mm. A design mindset is one of our four mindsets, and it's really sort of, you know, grounded in this idea that, you know, planning is good, but doing is better. And really learning how to, you know, get into the user's mind and what's motivating people, what's the need. And so we tried something, we put something together. We recruited 11 students. They all came from the North Carolina School of Science and Mass online program. So these were kids from across the state of North Carolina. And we brought them in and we started doing the work and we learned a ton. And really since then, over the course of the last sort of 2.5 years, I've continued to learn so much about how these mindsets play out. And in particular, I think the tools of the work. And that is to say, you know, even a design mindset or, you know, take an analytical mindset, another one of our mindsets, you know, in the face of complexity, break it down, right? That's a mindset or an approach. But the tools begin to answer the question, how do you do that, right? Mm-hmm. So even the mindsets are still a bit abstract, certainly a more clear point of view on how to do this work, but it's the tools that really begin to say, okay, so I'm facing a complex problem. I know I want to break it down, but how do I do that? And how do I do that in a team environment in a way that really continues collective mindset to leverage the strengths of a diverse team, right? So I think one of the biggest things we learned was really developing this tool set that support these mindsets and the work. So we do this work in partnership with many others, which is critical to the model. And certainly we're learning every day. So we're grateful for the partnerships that we have indeed.
Mm-hmm. What's maybe one of the most recent kind of light bulbs, you know, that you've had, one of these more recent learnings?
Yeah, I think there was a moment that kind of really brought something home for us that we think a lot about, and actually has to do with how to coach this work, right? So, so that, you know, more people can be out coaching and helping other people get better at this. And so we were actually working with a group of adults and helping them begin their journey to think about how do you coach others to get better. So we brought a group of our students in and they talked about their experience as problem solvers and teams. And someone asked them, what was the coaching like? What was that experience? What did they do? And, you know, this young man, you know, it was kind of funny the way he said it, but he said, yeah, you know, I mean, they really sort of taught us the tools on the first day and, you know, we learned a lot on that first day, but you know, then they just kind of let us work. And I thought, yeah, we did. And it just kind of hit me in that moment where he said that, because, you know, I know in my own experience as a coach and certainly in talking to other people about the coaching work, you know, the phrase that we'll use a lot is you gotta let them play. We use sports metaphors a lot. Yes, you know, we're sports people. We live in a big sports state, but it's kind of like we really use the word coach very intentionally. This is not a throw people into the deep end of the pool model, right? This is District C's approach is not, our point of view is not all you have to do is give people an experience and then that's it. We really do believe in the coaching.
Mm. So you're working with 11th and 12th grade students. You're also working with high school educators. And confirm for me, this is happening outside of regular school hours. Is that right?
So yes, and you're going to get that answer from me a lot. I have a sneaking suspicion. So our coaching fellows cohort, definitely we've got some of the top teachers in the triangle that are participating in this. We also have administrators. We also have people that are situated outside of schools. So in workforce development, we had a representative from a local chamber that was involved. We've had industry professionals that have participated in this before, a project manager from a construction company in the area. So it's kind of interesting because people that are interested in getting better at collective problem solving are not just high school juniors and seniors. So we're beginning, I mean, this really is, in our minds anyway, this work really is about building a talent pipeline that we really believe is sort of the first talent pipeline of its kind that prepares talent that knows how to leverage the strengths of a diverse team to work in complex problems and with a laser-like focus on that. So one is like, we do kind of have a broader, like, it isn't just about schools, like it really is an ecosystem community, you know, District C community-based model. So what happens is that for some of our educators who go back into the classroom, they are taking this back, wondering to themselves, you know, how can I bring the District C mindsets and tools to my students, to my school? Administrators are bringing this back and saying, how can we use the District C mindsets and tools at an organizational level? So you start to see that, you know, the work really plugs in certainly by giving young people these experiences and the chance to be coached through this work. But teachers are finding applications for this in department meetings, in their work with student government, you know, in their work with internships as they begin to go out into the community and plug in. So what you begin to see is like all different kinds of models where people are finding ways to sort of carve this experience out. So yes, some of it is after school. The students that we coach directly is an after school model, but some of our teachers are taking this back and building out semester courses, full year courses, clubs. And, you know, problem solving kind of lends itself well to this, right? Because, I mean, you could take yourself through a problem solving process in a day if that's what you have. Mm-hmm. You could stretch that out over a year or a lifetime. That's kind of why that isn't such a straightforward answer. So, you know, it's kind of people taking a step back and thinking about where do these mindsets and tools, where can they really push the work and help us? And that is sort of starting to pop up very organically in a lot of different ways. This idea of collective problem solving is an approach to the world, approach to life. And so that is also why I think it is taking on so many forms. And, you know, it isn't an after school program. It's something kind of much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the approach that you all use to bring this model of collective problem solving to the different groups you're working with?
Yeah, you know, there's kind of a core piece of work that we do, and I would say we build around that. But the core piece of work really does center around the student experience, and that is students that we work with, we partner with schools, and they nominate students. We coach, we have a conversation with the schools about, you know, what it is that we do so that they're really sort of understanding, you know, the kinds of students that they may want to nominate, that this would be the right sort of experience for in the next level for that student. Those students then come to us. So they are four students on what we call a C-Squad or a team. They are all from different schools. And our model is a regional-based model. So, you know, in this sort of multi-county region of what we call the Triangle region in North Carolina, you know, these could be students that, you know, live 30 miles apart. So they, in some cases, haven't heard of each other's schools or don't really know, you know, what's this town that you're from? They may not really know much about it. So these four students from four different schools come and work on a real problem for a local business. This is oftentimes a business that maybe they've heard of, maybe not, that they probably don't know. And so, you know, to kind of like bring this like picture, if you're starting to feel a little anxiety, like you can kind of imagine how our students must feel. Our model of when we work with students is, again, this kind of after school model. So these students show up knowing that they're going to spend a whole day, students they've never met, they don't know, working on a problem for a business that they know they don't know. They come to a full day Saturday, which we call launch day. We typically do these in co-working spaces. So an early partner for us has been HQ Raleigh. So they show up at HQ Raleigh, which is a space they've never been in these kinds of co-working communities. So like now they're in a space they don't know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we really are always kind of amazed that they show up. I mean, wow. I mean, talk about high levels of uncertainty. And our students, no matter where they're from, say, I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. And that just is really, it's so powerful to like watch them come in that door. They've never done it. There's these people they're meeting and this problem they're about to solve. And at 3 o'clock on that launch day, their business is coming and they're going to sit down, and each squad has 45 minutes to lead a meeting with that business with the sole purpose of asking questions and beginning to understand their business and their needs and their stakeholders and their customers and that problem that they are putting in the hands of these students to dig into and understand and to eventually bring a solution. I mean, and even just that alone, sitting down with a company that you're just learning about and trying to ask questions for 45 minutes is an eternity. But with a little bit of coaching, boy, these students are so good at it, and they come in and, you know, they do the professionalism piece and they sit down and they really start to dig and understand what this problem is, where it comes from, what's the company tried, who are you, what do you care about. It's really remarkable to watch them do this work, again, as a coach, you know, from the sidelines. After this full day Saturday, they then go away for about 3 weeks. And because they're from all different parts of the triangle, they work virtually. So they meet, you know, roughly three times a week as a squad. And they do work in between meetings through, you know, Google Suites and shared documents and all that. But they unpack the problem, try to figure out what's at the root of that problem, and then they start building a really detailed solution. And here's the fascinating thing. We ask our business partners 60 days out, have you or do you plan to use part of the student's solution? 94% of our businesses say yes.
Wow.
So that is to say, this is obviously an amazing opportunity and learning experience for our students to do something that's so important that they've never done. So obviously there's value in that direction. They're adding real value back into this company, back into the community as well, which is always, I think I have to say, like, I think as adults, oftentimes they are not surprised that the students can come up with ideas. I don't think that, but it's the quality that is always pretty remarkable. I mean, we partnered with Citrix here in Raleigh, and they probably had 8 or so folks in the room from the company listening to these students talk about how they saw the problem and a solution they thought. And they said, I can't believe that. They said, we have been talking and working on this for months, and you all in 3 weeks' time were able to come together and really hit some really interesting insights about why this is happening, what the real problem is, and some really compelling and executable ideas on what we could do to make that better. I mean, again, it's quite fun to watch as a coach to see them do this work and add real value back to these businesses.
Yeah, what a powerful experience. And it's clearly having a significant impact on the business partners, you know, that are taking part in the process. What impact are you seeing for the students, you know, 60 days out, let's say?
Yeah, great question. You know, we use our metrics are around Net Promoter Score, and what we're looking to see is, do the student solutions make a difference, right? And so in the real world, if you're a student project team or if you're a project team that comes together and you pitch an idea, your feedback, you know, you don't get an A or a B. Mm. What you get is, do they do it, you know? And, mm-hmm. and so really, like, one of our metrics of success for students is 94% of businesses saying that they have done it, right? Businesses saying, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to recommend District CC squads to another business leader that you know? And a 10 is extremely likely. Our average right now with businesses is a 9.8. That is off the charts. So that is direct feedback to the students on, you know, if this is the work of the real world, how are you doing? How well is that going? And that really, again, is how we know in the real world, you know, our effectiveness or our success. I can also tell you, there are these anecdotal stories of students beginning to see mindsets and tools that are highly valued in the real world that they just didn't know they were good at. And they have these things in them that were of such great value. And, you know, so on an anecdotal side, I think we also hear our students coming back and those things start to change minds, right? Those things start to change how as a student I'm thinking about my trajectory and my future and what I might want to do in some pretty powerful ways. So, you know, those kinds of things we do see as well from the student perspective.
Mm. Yeah, I saw a quote from a former District C student that said that the experience brought out something in me that I didn't even know existed. And it's exactly right. I mean, those are the pivot points in a student's journey that exactly what you said, change the trajectory of their life and can put them on an entirely new course. It's pretty amazing that one experience has the power to do that. But I think it's something that you know, really is worthy of consideration. So I want to pivot a little bit and take a look at the K-12 education system as it is now. And you mentioned that you guys use sports anecdotes or sports analogies a lot. And I really appreciate that actually, because I'm a huge sports fan. But I heard your husband and co-founder talk a little bit about this idea of the way the NBA has changed over the last 20 years, and it's become a three-point shooters league where, you know, in the 90s, it was really dominated by, you know, the two-point shot, the post game with the big men and all of that. And he compared it to really the education system at large right now as doing a great job preparing two-point shooters for a three-point economy, a three-point workforce, and which I thought was just such a great analogy. But it raised this question for me in thinking about the talent pipeline and talent development. What do you see as the role of the K-12 education system in preparing them for the talent pipeline?
They should be. and I think, you know, when we go out and talk to, you know, educators at the school level or the district level, they get it, right? It isn't that people are saying, no, you know, teamwork or collaboration or complexity aren't important. They understand the role that automation is playing in this story and how that's changing, you know, what people do. And you're starting to see things like students, you know, who are in high school and college right now will have had 11 different jobs by the time they're 60. And, you know, 61% of jobs by 2030 will experience mid to high levels of disruption because of automation. Like, schools understand and see themselves as wanting to prepare students to be able to thrive in their future, right? Whatever path they take and whatever that means for them. And then there's, in our experience, there's been a deep understanding and appreciation for understanding that how our world is changing. There also is a system that is built, you know, sort of the machinery of school, if you will, that really is set up and designed to prepare two-point players. And the three-point player is not a matter of just tweaking the machine. This really is a very different kind of experience. And that isn't to say that you don't need to have the two-point skills. That's important, but it's not enough. And so I think the challenge for the school system is, you know, there's an understanding of the importance of this, but it really sort of becomes the how. You know, we've created policy structures and rules and all kinds of things that have sort of supported these two-point player mindset. How does that need to change so that we can prepare three-point players for a three-point economy? And, you know, I don't pretend to have an answer to that. But what I really respect and want to just say, like, how awesome this is the schools in the districts that we've had the opportunity to work with here are problem solvers themselves. And, you know, it's at times it feels a little bit square peg, round hole, but they know this matters and they are in it to find a way. And that's really cool because this isn't easy. I mean, we are not a plug and play. I mean, right? Like, we are not I don't know. Like, I mean, they see what we're doing. I mean, first of all, like, we're offering a cross-registered experience. Our students are out doing this work in the community. It's real. It's not a case study. All of this stuff is sort of different, right? And And the districts are really finding the people and the experiences where they've had, where they said, oh, hey, we've done cross registration over here and this, so let's learn from them. Hey, we've got students out doing internships in these groups. Let's learn from them. And they kind of start bringing the right people into the room and they start really figuring out, again, kind of back to your earlier question, how do we want to bring the district C mindsets and tools back into our community, back into our school? And it is really a conversation, and it is working with, and it isn't just people within the school, right? Because this is a community model. So it's now getting in conversations with the Rotaries and the Chambers and the community colleges and the four-year colleges and the business community. And that's what's kind of neat also, to sort of watch, these regions and these communities start to say, how are we going to give our students this experience? Because it's not so clear, admittedly, because that's just not how we're currently set up.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it when you're saying the real question is now lying around the hole. I think there's a lot of recognition that, the ship needs to be turned, but, institutionally, we're talking about moving such a large, system. For the teachers, for the administrators who are listening, who are saying, listen, like, I get what you're saying. This is exactly what we want to bring to our students. What are some of the mindsets or tools that they could start bringing into even their classroom experience to start greasing the wheels a little bit?
Yeah, all of them. And that's a really good entry point, right? And what the schools that we've been working with start to do is that it's actually kind of neat because, we have teachers that work, they teach a business class, or they teach an entrepreneurship class, or, they're an engineering teacher. We have Latin and French teachers. We have English, math, and science teachers. We have a school librarian. We have a fitness director. We have administrators. So if that isn't reflective of the fact that, right, this work doesn't sort of fit neatly in a box, just look at the people that are being attracted to this work and want to come in to be trained as coaches. And the first thing they do is start to think about their own context, right? So how can I use this in my own classroom, in my own fitness program, in my work as an advisor for the student government? And frankly, again, mindsets are, analytical. When there's complexity, break it down. Design, planning is good, doing is better, right? Learn, test, iterate. Collective mindset, leverage the strengths of a diverse team. Self-aware mindset, you are responsible for you. These things are not about any one content area, but they are about existing, right? So they fit in any classroom, in any context. And this is, again, where even school leadership teams begin to say, wow, figuring out how to create more of these kinds of experiences for our students is a complex problem. So who are the people that we want to bring? Even at a meta level, the schools begin to use the District C mindsets and tools as a way to help them think through and figure out how do we bring more of this for our students and continue to sort of bridge that gap between school and community. We're learning a ton with our current school and district providers, and hope to build a community that can continue to learn from each other. And I know, the coaching fellows that we bring in, they're from all different, again, communities and types of schools and different roles within the school. So they kind of create their own little, learning community, if you will, about and sharing stories about, well, how did you do this? Or what did you learn? What didn't work or what worked? And so, because we really, again, we're still figuring this out. And so we need to continue to, have that orientation of learning and sharing and building on each other's successes and strengths, which is part of, coming together in these coaching fellow cohorts is what is also happening.
And that maybe leads into, this question, where does District C go from here? You all are regionally based, making a huge impact in your community. Is this something that you see being scaled out nationally? Is it a model that you are looking to share, you know, with other cities who might want to follow your lead? What does the future look like for you all?
I think to some extent that we kind of have had the great opportunity to sort of see organically a bit where this goes. So, you know, I'll share with you some of what's happening that way. You know, we just came from a meeting and we were asked the question, you know, could younger students do this? You work mostly with high school. Could middle school do this? Well, you know, quite organically, we have a deep relationship with a school in the area, and their middle school teachers found out about it and said, can we come? So they did. They came to the Coaching Institute, and they're going to be a part of this, and they're going to do the translation, right? They're going to take this back schools, and we're going to learn a ton with them, right? And so that's going to happen. We had some folks from Danville, Virginia come that work really in a workforce development region, and they said, we want to come. You know, we're not from the Triangle, but we, so they came, and they had three coaching fellows join us for the work, and they are taking this back to sort of the Southern Virginia region and really thinking about how they can start weaving this in to really build on some fantastic, impressive work that they have done there. We had a representative from the chamber in Wilmington, North Carolina, again, not part of the Triangle, but a really fantastic community. And she came and was part of our Coaching Institute. And actually, I had the great opportunity to go out and work with Leadership Wilmington, which is a chamber-sponsored leadership group where they bring 30 amazing, high-potential leaders from the community together to find ways to add value back, both in their own, you know, business and but also to Wilmington as a larger community. And they're thinking about it. So, So I think we're kind of watching where the interest is right now. Also, Rowan Salisbury, Lynn Moody is the superintendent there, doing some amazing work, really gets this, really wants to move the needle and is in conversation with us about, you know, how can we work together and learn from each other. So, you know, there's opportunities to sort of go into other communities, to sort of push into other sectors, to push into other levels. And you know, I can't say that we have this the full book written, or even totally sure what the next chapter is for us. But we are very mindful of wanting to, you know, find ways to continue to add value where we can, and are so far seeing some interest. And you know, we get the occasional inbound email from New Jersey or Denver, and so I think, thanks to folks like, you know, Tom Vander Ark and, you know, Education Week, who did a piece on us. And, you know, we've had some national press as well. Folks like you taking the time to do these podcasts, word outs, NC State Emerging Issues, those things all sort of help. And, you know, we want to, wherever we go, we want to do as good a job as possible. And so we're committed to the Triangle, and we live here. We're not going anywhere. We care about our backyard a great deal. But we are kind of, you know, trying to see where else we can add value, and also, like I said, continue to learn.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see the model spread. And as a former elementary school teacher, former STEM teacher, the idea of going younger is very exciting to me. So I'm definitely going to be watching and seeing how this continues to move. One thing that I'd love to hear you speak to a little bit is, for innovative educators, for entrepreneurs who want to follow your lead and see solutions for gaps that are a little more complex, you know, want to get started on projects that are a little more complex, and may take a little while to grow because they're growing organically in a very real way, what would you tell them about getting started on something like that? And you know, and what does it look like to gain momentum? When does momentum come? You know, how can they really think about the idea of getting started on something more complex?
Yeah. My first would be, you know, just keep reading aloud to yourself, kind of our mantra for the design mindset, right? Planning is good, but doing is better. Do, test, adapt, innovate. Do, test, innovate. you know, I can't say it enough. And because there is so much to learn, and you know, I was also a middle school science teacher, so right there with you on going younger. But you know, I think back to how I approached my work there, and one of the things I would do is I'd say, like, you know, okay, I'm going to be teaching eighth grade earth science this year, so I need to figure out like the curriculum for the whole year, and then I'm going to start teaching it. And like, that is not at all how we approach this work, right? Like, you are not taking off these big chunks, so to speak. I mean, it really is, you know, here's a problem. Here's kind of truly like minimum viable product prototype, as quickly as possible. Let's get that in front of people, the user, and let's watch them interact with it, experience it, and learn from them. And then take that learning, put it back into the model, go to, you know, from V1 to V2, and then put it back, and then test it again, and learn and test and adapt. And it's these kind of smaller iteration cycles that have been so important, because there's just so much that learning that you have to do. And so if you think you know it all, then sure, go ahead and build the whole luxurious, complicated model. but we knew we didn't know. And I think in complex situations, there's going to be a lot you don't know. And so I think that design mindset is critical. In terms of, you know, knowing when you're making progress, boy, that's a really tough one. I was actually just speaking with an awesome entrepreneur in this area, and we were talking about how, you know, she said, you know, here's where we are today. And like, I'm really impatient, and I want it to go faster, and I want to have more to show. And, you know, she said, but I have to admit, if you were to have asked me a year ago and, you know, and said like, where would be success a year from now? And you were to tell me that I'm here, I'd be like, oh my God, that's amazing. And like, I guess part of my advice too would be like, be ready for that, because there will be progress. There will be growth. You will be figuring a ton out. But it doesn't always feel that way, because as soon as you sort of set a milestone and you reach that milestone, you know, there's always going to be 10 in front of you. And so it is important to sort of take stock of, you know, where you were, and let yourself say, yeah, if you'd have told me a year ago I'd be here, I would have said like, wow, that's awesome. And just like remind yourself of that.
Yeah, that really resonates for me personally, even. Something that it has been kind of powerful for me is stepping back and looking at the things I wrote, or the texts I sent, or the emails I sent, or, you know, journal entries from even 2 months ago, even 3 months ago, and comparing that with, you know, the body of work in that time, you know, and my current mindset. And, you know, doing that, even looking at where you were a few months ago versus now, can be pretty powerful, you know, when you're growing in this accelerated way. And if you're a part of any kind of entrepreneurial endeavor, you are going to be growing in an accelerated way. There's really no way to avoid it. So yeah, I think that's great advice. And I also love that you said, you know, we knew what we didn't know, and that's a really powerful place to start from. And it takes the willingness to kind of face down the fear of not knowing. But that also, I think, leads to really rapid learning and rapid growth. So I love both those things you mentioned. So one of the questions I love to ask all of our guests as we start to wrap up is, who are you giving an A to these days?
You know, I have to say, I've really got to give a shout out to the city of Raleigh. You know, when we first moved here 4 years ago, we did not come here intending to do District C. We had other jobs, and just, you know, about a year and a half, 2 years in, decided to make this shift. And, you know, Raleigh is a place. I'm actually sitting right now in an HQ Raleigh space on Centennial Campus, which is part of NC State. Just sitting down below me are the founders, Christopher Gergen and Jason Wyden, co-founders of HQ Raleigh. The city of Raleigh has been both a problem provider for us, as well as a grant. We're part of an impact partner grant that they have run, where we, with other entrepreneurial groups, have been brought together Innovate Raleigh is an organization here that thinks very carefully about diverse, equitable, and inclusive entrepreneurial ecosystem. We have on our board Danya Perry, who works both with the Chamber and Economic Development for Raleigh and Wake County, again, on how do we build diverse, equitable, and inclusive ecosystems and workforce opportunities and talent pipelines. I mean, I'm telling you, I could go on and on. Like, the businesses that we get to work with are just, Maggie Kane founded A Place at the Table. She was, she was on the Today Show. Like, she's amazing. Like, her work is like, we should be telling the story nationally. It's a pay what you can cafe in downtown Raleigh. And, you know, she's just doing this amazing, amazing work. It has just been, we are so fortunate that we lived here because it was just luck. And and I am confident that we would not be where we are today without the support of this community around us.
Amazing. Yeah, it sounds like you're in exactly the right place. For the people listening that are saying, yeah, I need to connect with District C, I need to get in on this, what's the best way for them to get connected with you and what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, districtc.co is our website. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, at District C17. 17 was year one, so that's why that. But yeah, any and all of those outlets, we'd love to have you join the conversation, join the work. As I said, we do run coaching institutes, and so people can, if they want to come and learn this and bring it back to their community. That's what we want. Like, our hope is that this work's helpful and that we can continue to share with people all over what we've learned. So yeah, I appreciate that question.
Absolutely. Well, Anne, it's been so good to have you on. I've loved this conversation. What you guys are doing is really powerful, and best of luck.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you, finding us and continuing to tell the stories of the powerful work that's going on, because there is so much of it. So thank you for taking the time to create this space as well. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Off the Assembly Line. This podcast exists to share the many stories of changemakers making a difference in the education system. My belief is that if we can raise the level of visibility of these innovators to eye level, it'll get a whole lot easier to collectively work to change the system that impacts millions. If you know someone whose story needs to be told, send me a message or tweet at Off Assembly Line on Twitter. It's going to take us all working in rhythm to bring the ed system out of the factory and get our students off the assembly line. Thanks for what you're doing already to make a difference. Now let's do more together. Get out and make a ruckus this week.